Today, Valerie returns to the circle along with new guest Evan Myers Aquino as we talk vegan thugs and who the switch is for. All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello and welcome back to Trust Circle. This is episode 20. 2 0, 2 10s, 10 times 2. No one's you're just gonna leave me all here to drown with that? Alright, fine.
I didn't know.
Yes, what
are you supposed to say anything?
I absolutely
about that?
Am.
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
Yes, thank you. I am your host, Devin Valdivia. I am joined by Top Shelf Gaming, editor in chief, co-founder and founder. He's all the founders. Also Captain Stutterer and crazy person Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
Hey there. We are joined finally once again by my wife, Valerie.
I'm back.
You're back.
With a vengeance.
And we are joined with our first guest of 2017. I was going to... No, yourself. You're doing it yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Evan Myers Aquino, and I do not yet have a catchphrase.
There you go. See, I was about to introduce you as Top Shelf Gaming intern, but then I realized as I was about to say that, it was in my mouth. I was like, wait a minute.
Former intern.
I guess that's all we're taking, huh?
Staff writer.
Yeah.
The staff writer, Evan.
Mr. Boss Pants.
Yeah, Evan Zucchini. Welcome to the show.
Mayor Zucchini over here. Govern Zucchini Town.
Welcome to episode 20, you guys.
Oh, also, I have a new nickname for Marcus.
Oh, gosh.
No, please.
So you know how Marcus says, hey, Valpal?
Mm-hmm.
And that rhymes? It's got like a fun like.
Oh, you were...
Boom,
you...
boom. It's got like a fun rhythm to it.
She was trying to think of this like all weekend.
And then I thought of one. So I'd like to introduce you to Snarky Mark over here.
See,
that was a lot of buildup.
I couldn't get it out.
She said it yesterday, like, and it caught me off guard.
Did you try to just like weave it in?
Yeah, I did.
She was like, a like artisan basket weaver. She like wove that.
She majored in that
so hard, and it took me a second to like realize what she had said. But as soon as I like processed it, I like chuckled. I started laughing.
I was like, gotcha.
you were test running that earlier.
Yeah, to your dismay.
Workshopping nicknames.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't. It doesn't have that snap.
It's because Snarky has two
Snarky
syllables.
Snark.
I guess it doesn't. When I hear Snarky Mark, I don't think of you. I guess.
I think of
like some like sniveling guy like.
Oh,
like,
I can get snarky.
Get snarky.
I'm gonna be. I'm gonna play the role of Snarky Mark.
Okay. Well, then you have this episode to.
I'm gonna do it.
You have this episode to justify Snarky Mark.
Okay, but I think Valerie's gonna call me that regardless of what you think.
You can try.
We'll see.
This isn't about Valerie, this is about Devin and me, whether we're going to call you that.
Yeah. She's already drank her own Kool-Aid. She has to convince us.
This nickname isn't for you.
No, it's for you.
Yeah. This is Valerie's thing. This
anyways.
Is Valerie's thing. You have no one else to
this convince. Is Trust Circle.
Well, isn't it true that you can't give yourself a nickname?
No, I give myself nicknames all the time.
I don't accept them.
Yeah.
You can give yourself a nickname.
Yeah.
Well,
a nickname is only a nickname if everyone chooses to like familiarize.
Says you.
That's what Devin and I are saying. We're choosing in this episode to accept Snarky Mark as his nickname.
But that can be Valerie's nickname for me. Just like I call you.
That's a pet name. That's different than
the Devin.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been calling you that for 5 years now. The Devin.
That's his nickname?
Yeah.
You put an article in front of it.
Yes.
Better than the lady.
Yeah. And the missus.
And the missus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got the whole family.
Well, now that we've gotten through our whole weird college history, this is Trust Circle. Where every week...
This show is going nowhere.
It's going somewhere. I don't know where it's going, but it's going wherever it's going really fast. Every week we talk about video games, eventually, and we are joined... with an actual circle, it's been a trust line the past
well,
it's
couple
a
weeks.
Square.
You round the corners.
Rectangle.
You round the edges, and
we're just points.
If you round the edges infinitely, then I can see.
Yeah.
Square.
So you know, if we sound a little bit more echoey than we have the last few weeks, we are in a larger room with our microphone being overworked more than it usually is.
Our poor microphone. It's doing the best it can.
It's got four mouths to feed to you.
To your
four mouths to feed back.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, Evan, welcome to our circus of craziness. How you been the last week? Who are you? Where'd you come from? And what? How you been lately?
Well, you already said my name is Evan Myers Aquino. I came from Orange County, and I go to Chapman University, and I major in creative writing. And I love video games. The first video game that I ever beat was Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, and that is to this day my favorite video game. So that's a little bit of my backstory. That's where I came from.
It's a good backstory.
He came from Hyrule.
He came from Hyrule.
A young boy.
Straight out of Hyrule by way of Middle Earth and a little bit of Hogwarts.
just a little bit.
What house?
Yeah. Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw.
Ooh.
How about you, Valpal?
I'm a Hufflepuff.
And you?
Definitely Hufflepuff.
Proud Hufflepuff. I thought I was a Ravenclaw for a long time.
Double.
But then Pottermore told me otherwise.
Double Huffs.
Double Huffs.
Double Huffs.
This is the House of Huff.
Huffin.
Double Huff.
Do you know what I am?
You're a Slytherin.
Do you think so?
I think so, because I feel like you told me before. But also, you just are Slytherin.
No, Marcus is definitely Gryffindor.
What do you think?
I think that out of those four, you'd probably be Gryffindor.
You're such a Slytherin.
I'm such a Slytherin.
I told you!
I think you want to be a Slytherin.
No.
Marcus is
I was
Slytherin.
Pissed about it. I was
You're the dark side of Harry Potter. You could have gone Gryffindor, and then you
No, I'm definitely Slytherin, according to Pottermore. Back when it first came out, when everyone was like...
When it first came out, I was a Hufflepuff. Like, whenever I took the quiz finally 3 years ago. I tried to take it again last year, because they had updated it. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's cool new questions. The first time I do it, it tells me I'm a Slytherin. I was like, this is not right. This ain't correct.
This is false.
So I go back, I use a different email, I like re-sign up, and then it's like, a Ravenclaw. I'm like, this is not right. I do it again, Gryffindor.
So you just do it until
so
you get what
doesn't
you want.
Mean anything.
It was, and I tried
so
to be true to myself.
So might just be a huge lie.
I tried to be honest.
I need to retake it, and then I will report back next week.
Mm-hmm. I retook it and got Hufflepuff again. So
yeah, that makes sense.
And then I tried to find my.
You're good at finding things. So.
My Patronus, and it gave me a. I don't even know how to pronounce this. A goshawk. G-O-S, and then like hawk. I was like, what's
a
that?
A goshawk.
That's dumb.
I'm dumb.
Well, Valerie, you've been absent.
I'm working through a lot of this.
For a while.
Right now.
Yeah.
A lot of this.
What?
A lot of this Patronus trauma I have.
No, we're moving past that.
That's what I've been doing these past 2 weeks. Just trying to figure this out. But I'm back now. I'll heal one day.
It's been such a different dynamic of having
this. It's been almost focused.
Like Devin and
it's
I.
Been almost like it's been almost on topic.
Sorry, you wanted somebody who doesn't know video games to be on the podcast.
I have forgotten what this is like.
Such a weird gimmick. Whose idea was this? The fool.
All right, Valerie. Tried this, tell me something about your week that I don't know. Why would I know anything about you?
Let's see. Yesterday, Marks and I
ditched me.
We ditched you.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks
we
for that.
Ditched you for
super appreciated that by the way.
One on one time.
Yeah.
We ditched you for one on one time because we need to.
You need to keep
this
alive.
Keep that bond. Yeah.
You know what's fun though? We never hang out, Marcus.
Yeah, we do.
When was the last time we hung out?
We play video games all the time. We talk every day.
Do we though, or do we like passive aggressively like manipulate each other and doing things we want each other to do? Because I'm pretty sure it's more that.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
So there's like business us, and then there's like Overwatch us, and these are very different people. Very different people. But there's both. And I would say that I spend more time with you and engaging with you than Valerie by like tenfold.
Mm-hmm. Ours is like, it's like quantity versus quality.
Yeah. Ours is nothing but, like, pure quality. Yeah. It's just, like, memories.
Distilled.
Every time.
Anyways, we made...
Ours is more like...
We made enchiladas.
Yeah. But here's the kicker.
Twist.
They were vegan enchiladas. Yeah. He's not amused at all. So...
How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
So, I'm, like, super hardcore meat eater guy.
Right.
Like, I don't consider a meal unless it has some dead creature in it.
Of course.
Valerie's vegetarian, but I don't even think you were prepared for the veganness of it.
I was like, I didn't realize there was no cheese in it until we like put like the finishing sauce on top, and I was like,
"This something
we've accomplished all the steps."
Like, I've had Mexican food, and there's always something in it that I can't think of. And we're like, cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I got this cookbook called Thug Kitchen, and it's just a bunch of like, you know, recipes, but all of the copywriting is just like offensive,
like,
and
hyper colloquial, interspersed with profanity, like,
yeah,
kind of vibe.
And so it looks like this like really like macho cookbook,
right?
But it's actually all vegan, which vegan can be macho, but that's just what,
because it's like, it's so hardcore, because you have to take these extra steps and like make sure, you know, take the hard road to getting your nutrition.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. I enjoyed them a lot. Do it again.
Do it again. Yeah. 10 out of 10 would enchilada again.
Mm-hmm. Evan.
What?
How's it going? Okay.
Is that your new passive aggressive tactic to make us behave? Just stony silence?
It kind of worked.
It got really awkward.
Devin is looking at me so scornfully, and I just feel attacked. I feel like I come here and I'm like, Devin, I'm so happy to see you. And Devin's just,
you open up your voice, you share your words with us.
I do it. I try to give him hugs, and he's not receptive at all. And it's a big thing. So Devin, I'm sorry if I made you hate me with my presence.
Thug.
So how was your week, Devin?
My week was fine. I haven't done a whole lot, except for I've done a lot of one thing. I am slowly...
Oh, no.
I am slowly, but ever more quickly, falling into the dark, 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 and very deep hole that is Dungeons & Dragons.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
He uncorked that wineskin and is now drinking the Kool-Aid.
I finally, like, took a peek, like, in, like, behind the curtain, and oh boy, there is so much to see. I feel a little bit overwhelmed. So as you all Trust Circlers know, Valerie and I have been playing D&D for probably, like, four months or so
since
now.
Since, like, October.
And it's been going good. We're still playing. We're just playing the starter adventure. But I somehow got it in my head that, like, oh, you know what? It might be fun to, like, do some DMing. And so I'm trying to convince Valerie and you, Marcus, to be my pawns in that. And so I decided, well, I should probably start learning about stuff and, like, getting ready. And so I went on Wizards of the Coast and got all of their, like, online content.
Is that a website?
It's a website.
It's a League of Wizards.
Literally, wizards.com is Wizards of the Coast website.
It's Beach Wizards.
Wizards.com.
They have wizards.com.
They secured wizards.com. Not bad, guys. All right. I might check it out.
Just for that. I wasn't interested until I knew they had wizards.com.
Pretty impressive.
And then I started watching a bunch of YouTube channels, including Critical Role, which, have you heard of Critical Role before?
Yes.
So Critical Role stars McCree, Matthew Mercer, voice actor of McCree. He DMs for a bunch of other voice actors.
Does he do it in McCree's voice?
They do it in all sorts of voices.
Oh, that sounds fun.
So Ashley Johnson is one of the players, Laura Bailey.
Wow.
Like a bunch of people.
The big dogs.
The big dogs. Still no Troy or Nathan. No, not Nathan. Wow. I totally jumped to Nathan Fillion there. Nolan. They're both basically... See, Nathan Fillion should have been Uncharted, but they're too long to make it, and now he's too old.
Really?
No. Like, movie-wise. Uncharted movie-wise.
Yeah.
Like, a younger Nathan Fillion, like, would have been... unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately? Why unfortunately?
Show me one good video game movie and all.
It's called Indiana Jones.
There has to be one eventually. Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
There has to be one eventually, and if it's going to be any Uncharted.
It wasn't Assassin's Creed.
Marcus makes a valid point that it's not another Mortal Kombat movie. It's basically Adventure Boy the movie.
So here's my dark secret. I would say the first Mortal Kombat movie is probably the most successful and most enjoyable video game movie to date.
No, yeah, I think that's you're pretty spot on.
Yeah, with that. That's what makes it so sad. But yeah, so I've basically just done nothing but dive deep into D&D like mechanics and lore, and I haven't played video games or anything. It's been weird.
He just browses through like 300 page PDFs now.
Yeah, it's an issue.
I'm not disappointed in you, Devin, but something close to it. I'm glad you're having fun.
It's okay. I think that
feeling is fear, Marcus.
you should be.
Right? Yes,
you should be.
You got it.
But we have video games to talk about today.
Okay.
Many.
So let's take a quick short break, and when we come back, Let's take a short rest. Oh, there you go. This is why I married you.
Okay.
We're taking a short rest, and when we come back, we are going to discuss the aftermath of last week's Switch event. Get pumped. See you in a second. And we are back from our break, which for you probably lasted about 20 seconds.
For us, it lasted an eternity.
Too long.
Forever. Before we begin talking about the Nintendo Switch, Valerie, since you have returned to us, so shall Word of the Week return.
I missed this.
It sounded better in my head before I said it. We need you a word you can shout out because we three.
Kings.
Sitting in the circle. That didn't rhyme. If me, Evan, and Marcus wander off into video game forest and you get lost, you can shout and we will shut up and answer your questions.
What should I talk? What should I shout? Give me a topic.
Nintendo.
Waluigi. I don't know. Is that a character?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I was terrified you were gonna say like Conker, not Conker. Conker would have been good. Like some non Nintendo character. Crash Bandicoot.
Was I wasn't born yesterday.
Okay, so Waluigi.
I don't know who that is, actually.
Okay.
That name just sounds familiar.
How about this?
You wouldn't remember Waluigi.
Instead of saying Waluigi, can you just do that? Can you just go, wah, ha, ha,
wah?
No. Okay. I say Waluigi.
Okay. Don't stop unless you hear it go, wah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh my God.
It's got to have the nasal. Wah. So you can't go, wah, if you go, wah.
Let's get one out.
Test it. I will not be manipulated.
Wah.
So,
it's not strictly manipulation.
FPS, KOD ratios, release window, launch time,
Valerie?
RPG mechanic level up.
He's queuing you up.
I know what RPG means.
Do you know what KDR is?
Cats. No, wait, I don't know.
Nope, let's see.
I'm trying to make up an acronym.
We'll cross the bridge when we get there. So, you guys.
Oh, my lordy.
And you, girl.
Hey, girl.
Last week, we finally learned more details about the Nintendo Switch. So episode 8, I looked back. That was the episode where we first discussed the Switch, mm-hmm. when it was announced we had that amazing reveal trailer.
That amazing reveal trailer.
That just set
hipsters
so many dreams. Ugh, it was really good. It was a good, really good reveal. But they had an event when they gave some details. We know that it's launching on
March 3rd, my birthday.
We know that it costs.
It's basically my birthday.
Oh, dang. That's amazing.
We know that it costs
299 birthdays
and 99
cents.
That would not be very much. That would be very affordable, actually.
And
299 birthdays.
That 99 cents. Oh. That's I got a pocket change like that.
And we learned that. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is, in fact, going to be a launch title.
Yes.
But it's all downhill from there.
Yeah. All right.
That's that's a pretty high peak to start from.
It's true.
Though.
It's true.
$300, Breath of the Wild launch. That's
Breath of the Wild's pretty high to start. So, Marcus had a good idea, so this isn't just turn into a yelling match. We want to talk about the Switch in terms of who we think the Switch is for. So, one, just whether or not the four of us individually are interested in it. But beyond that, what kinds of people we think would be interested in the Switch or who will get the most out of the Switch based on what we know. So I think it might help to quickly just kind of hit some of the major bullet points of the Switch. So we know that it's 300.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out soon.
Yes.
It launches with Zelda. It also launches with a handful of other games. It launches with...
One, two, Switch.
More like an armful of other games.
Or a handful.
Arms isn't launching with it,
though. Arms is not launching with it.
Yeah. One, two, Switch.
Yeah, you got it.
Just Dance 2017. Zelda. Skylanders. Imaginators. I almost said Imagineers. Sounds like a better game. Which, that was last fall's Skylanders game, just so we're keeping track. And Super Bomberman R. Five games it's launching with. We know that it does have a Pro Controller. Pro Controller confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Pro Controller.
Sold separately.
Sold separately. That's lots of things.
It's a Pro Controller.
She did it!
She did it!
Did you hear the tone and how grudging it was?
It was great. Okay.
Wow.
So, Valerie, I'm going to show you this picture of the Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
So you see the controller over here.
Sure.
The awkward looking box.
So these two boys, as you know, because you watched the video, they come off.
Yep.
So there is a separate controller you can buy down here that looks like a regular, you know, an Xbox controller.
Yeah. Sure.
And you can buy this separately to use instead of using the standard, the Joy-Cons. Share the joy.
Wah!
That's such a Nintendo thing.
It's so
share the so you can share the joy.
It sounds like
and
something.
And now let me switch it back to you.
We have not mentioned the single best thing about the Switch. That noise. That is the most beautiful, amazing, just sensual noise.
The perfect click.
It is true.
It is so satisfying.
It's like a whole ASMR video, like.
Someone needs to sample that and put it into like an electronic song or something.
Break song. With that noise.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
We're gonna use that song.
Not today, we're not.
I'll make it.
In the future.
I'll make it.
Okay, so...
Jeez.
Let's run down some more prices, and then we can talk. So, the system, $299.99, comes with the Switch, the dock, a power cord, obviously, an HDMI cord, obviously, two Joy-Cons, obviously, left and right, and a plastic base to put them in. This plastic base does not charge the Joy-Cons because that one is sold separately for $30.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a massive bummer, actually.
Oh, it super is. If you want a Pro Controller, it's going to cost you $70. If you want a new set of Joy-Cons, a left and right pair will cost you $80. If you want a left or right, they will be $50 apiece. The charging Joy-Con grip is $30, and this one will charge the Joy-Con left and right when they're on. You can buy a new dock for $90 and a tiny wheel for who cares, no one's going to buy it. On top of that, they also announced an online service. Marcus, do you want to describe this online service?
No.
We don't really have any details on the online
service
specifically.
We have a few. They still have some questions to answer. It is going to be paid come this fall. The Switch will launch with free online until they release the paid service. Then everyone's going to pay to play. Only on Switch, Wii U, and 3DS are unaffected by any of this. And based on what they've said so far, playing online, you can do if you just have the paid service through the Switch. But communication, friends lists, play appointments, whatever that specifically means, is all going to be ran through a smartphone app.
As far as they're saying. But they haven't given actual concrete.
No, if only they had an event to clear any of that up. That'd be super helpful, wouldn't it?
It would have been.
So, there's the live land, and they also introduced some other games. Do you want to talk about the games too?
Yes.
Okay. Talk about ARMS, Marcus.
Okay. So, I think, are we just going to list things off, or are we just gonna list what they said, or are we
well,
gonna
let's
actually
talk about
things?
ARMS in the sense that, or talk about ARMS as a way to talk about the continued features of the Joy-Con controllers.
Okay, so I think it's important to at least some point, we're going to talk and, like, sure if we would... I want to kind of come to a consensus of like, if we would buy this, if, like, we would want this. So I think talking about the games is a big part of that. So starting, if we're going to start with ARMS, like, ARMS is basically this fighting game. And it's basically a cross between, like, Wii Boxing and Street Fighter and Smash Brothers. Actually, less Smash Brothers and more Pokken Tournament. And honestly, to me, like, as much as or a little bit less than Zelda, like, that's the game that I'm most excited for. Like, to me, ARMS looks...
Wait, within launch window or, like, straight up?
Within, like, what we know of right now.
Just whatever's been
talked about. What about Holiday 2017? There's a big game coming out then.
It's more than Mario.
Whoa, really? Yeah. You're more excited about ARMS than Mario.
Yes.
They're, like,
Talk to me about ARMS, crazy person. We did call him crazy at the beginning of this episode.
Honestly, so... And I'm going to write something on this, but, like, ARMS is,
I saw somebody, like, tweet out or something that was, like, ARMS is to fighting games what Splatoon was to shooters.
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of like that. So, from that perspective, I could definitely see why, like, that would have people very excited.
Explain the cool thing about ARMS.
The cool thing about ARMS, there's so many cool things, but...
Okay, well, talk about the cool thing.
I think it's like, really... about the amount of depth that I think it's going to have, and that's what gets me pumped up for it. Because it is structured like a fighting game with the traditional rock, paper, scissors mentality. So, like, every Street Fighter game is like, Street Fighter seems like this really simple arcade game until you start really getting into it and, like, realizing that it's this deep, complex game based off of this rock, paper, scissors system. And so, in this case, what that looks like is that blocking will beat punch, grabbing, throwing beats block, and punching beats grab. And so you are facing off against your opponent, and at any time you have to study their movements to always know how to counter, punish, and do all these fundamental fighting game things. And I see all of that in ARMS, plus, like, the added dimensions. I've watched a lot.
Tell me about the motion controls.
And it's motion controls. Isn't optional motion controls.
Isn't every game motion controlled? What's a motion control?
Like,
you take, like, the Joy-Cons off of the stick and you use it, like, so you hold one in your hand and you, like, as if you're actually punching someone.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, do the Wii doggy paddle. Where you doggy paddle, but then your dude's, like, punching on the screen.
No, yeah. It's actually pretty precise. So like, mm-hmm. it'll track your actual arm movements.
Mm-hmm.
And based on how you punch, it's like you can throw jabs, hooks,
mm-hmm.
Block, and then that's all controlled through your hands. But you can also play it through, like, traditional analog controls, too. And so...
Oh, you can play it with traditional analog?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That actually makes it a little bit cooler.
For me, that game, the appeal of that game is its control scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And this will probably come into play when I talk about more about my overall feelings of the Switch. That game seems to be taking advantage of the Switch's unique features.
Yeah.
And so while, you know, it's a bonus that they are allowing standard control, I kind of hope it doesn't feel better that way. Like, I hope the right, like, the better way to play is using the motion controls, because it seems like that's kind of the whole point of this fantasy of using the arms and having that kind of control.
It is for Splatoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's, that's like, you know, it, I think it's really cool that the accepted, preferred, better way of playing Splatoon is by utilizing the Wii's unique control scheme, mm-hmm. as opposed to just using the sticks, which you can still do. So, you know, if arms comes out and it turns out that people, that it's better or more reliable to play using a controller, like, that's sort of disappointing.
I think it's cool that they're offering different control schemes, though, because, like, the fact that they're doing that, I think, shows, like, an intention to, like, do that for more games, if that makes sense. And offering people, like, choices for how to play, I think is going to be a big deal.
And that seems to be one of the core philosophies of the Switch, is just different ways to play. You know, they, they have, you know, they're, what are the names? There are three different ways to play.
TV mode, handheld mode, table mode.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, I think because of that, it makes sense that they would allow as many diverse control systems as possible in all their games. But it definitely seems like ARMS is taking the most advantage of the motion controls and that that HD rumble.
HD rumble.
Which, so I've been reading and listening to a lot of...
ice cubes in your...
One ice cube. Two ice cubes. Three ice cubes.
I mean, I think that's a good transition point, too. Before we move, does ARMS make anyone, like, want to get Switch or curious about investing in Switch?
ARMS specifically doesn't make me want a Switch, but the technology that is powering ARMS makes me excited about the Switch.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Personally, though, I would not spend $60 on ARMS from what I've seen so far.
Sure.
I'm afraid I will not be partaking, just because I don't want to for that reason.
She can only play half a game anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called ARM.
Yeah, it's called ARM. It's
yeah, no, I think I'm with Evan here. ARMS interests me, but it doesn't make me want a Switch.
Sure.
I am curious about how many other characters they thought of using springy things, because you know there's Spring Boy and Ribbon Girl.
Yeah, and then there's Ninjaro? It's some Ninjago.
Uh-huh.
But he has...
That's a Lego thing.
But like, he has chain link arms.
His chains, okay.
And then there's a mummy guy. Uh-huh. He, like, has...
He's, like, bandages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Linen wrap
guy.
I will say one more point, I guess, in favor of ARMS is I've always wanted kind of a fighting game like this that's more physically based than just, like, digital inputs.
Yeah.
Like, just the idea of not necessarily that it's based on your physical moves, but just like your success is based on something other than how well you can memorize combos.
Yeah.
Like, it's still utilizing that rock, paper, scissors system that a lot of fighting games are, you know, when you whittle them all down, like, that's what they are. But it reminds me of something almost like the Fight Night games,
mm-hmm.
with the analog control stick. And, the last few were very much your punches will affect your opponent differently depending on where they hit, how they hit, how they glance off things.
Yeah.
And that makes it feel a little more nuanced and realistic than, you know, forward, down, triangle, back, circle.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things that really excites me too, is like, because there's, from the gameplay that I've seen, I've watched different people, I've watched like about 30 minutes, and like there's, even in that little bit, I've like seen so much nuance and just so much, like, just so many ways to strategize that as someone who comes from the fighting game community, like, that gets me really excited for where this game could go.
So for you and your own question, does ARMS make you want to Switch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
HD Rumble.
Like,
I think the way they introduced it was terrible, and I've been reading a lot of people's opinions about it who have experienced it. It seems to be 50-50 between, like, this is actually, like, a significant difference, or it's a rumble.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to come down to just an individual preference.
I love the implications of it. Like, I know on once you switch or some game, like, you could take the Joy-Con and, like, roll it, and one of the games was to, like, see how many balls were, like, rolling. And, like, so you had to feel the rumble. And like, I think that's, like, the amount of gameplay options that you could do with, like, something like that. I think that's incredible. Knowing Nintendo, though, it's like, Nintendo's gonna make one game that actually utilizes that technology, and nobody else will.
And yeah, it's like a bunch of third-party people will try and fail. Yeah.
Ubisoft will put out
a new Raving Rabbids game.
Yeah,
that would be fun to have.
So
back.
It would though.
Let's move on to talk about 1-2 Switch. I think that's the other game that we should probably cover in some amount of detail, because I think ARMS and 1-2 Switch make the best use cases for the Switch as a unique product.
I think one of those two should have been a pack-in title.
That, yes, and that, yeah.
I think
it should
have been 1-2 Switch.
Yes, I am 100% behind that. Unfortunately, it doesn't, and it's $50. So,
$50?
I'm not buying that until it comes down in price.
So, 1-2 Switch is one of the games that demoed at the event. And it's a collection of minigames, much like Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resorts were for the Wii and the Wii U.
And Nintendo Land was for Wii U.
Nintendo Land, sorry. My bad. That menu music.
I'm actually getting more of like a WarioWare vibe from 1-2 Switch from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Man, they should have WarioWare branded that.
Yeah, that was what I was wanting. I was expecting that to happen before it went to 1-2 Switch.
So, I actually, if it was that simple change, I probably would have.
I probably would be a lot more excited about it too.
Wow. Okay. This. Okay. Yeah. Well, 1-2 Switch is a collection of mini games, and the interesting thing is that a lot of them seem to be using the various abilities and expensive technology jammed into the Joy-Cons.
So there's a lot of tech in this.
There is. So give me a quick rundown of all the tech that's inside the Joy-Cons, because it is impressive on paper at the very least.
I think it's cool, even if, I don't know, whatever.
So I liked how they introduced it at the event with, you know, they ran through their entire history and said, you know, with this system we introduced this, with this system we added this and this and this, and then they kind of were like, and we put all of those innovations into these controllers. And, you know, the quality of that is all, you know, we'll find out when it releases, but they kind of did it. Like, they did it.
They made the ultimate console.
Yeah, so give us a rundown of everything in the...
That's a statement that you're going to have to live with for a while.
Yeah. I mean, that's recorded.
You're going to be checked. That's going to be checked.
The ultimate featured console. I think the console that is capable of, like, the most creative possibility. Abilities. I will say that hands down. So these Joy-Cons,
arms down.
They, like, it has accelerometer, so motion. It has, like, it's modular, so, like, you can use it just like the Wiimote. Like, like, you can turn it sideways, and it functions as a full controller. You can point it forward. It has HD rumble. It also has these weird, or I mean, not weird, but like cool, interesting AR features. So it can sense distances. So how far your hand is in front of
it. One of the controllers can.
Okay, so
the bottom
of them
one
can, and like it can sense how close or how far something is. What else can it do? It's just like a lot of like similar things, like like it can just detect things that are in the like physical world, and so 1-2 Switch is a game that kind of takes advantage of like all of its advanced sensors.
So the first game they showed was, you know, super simple, easy to understand, like just a quick draw game. Each person has one of the small controllers, and the dude says draw. You pull into each other. and the fastest draw wins. There's also a cow milking game that uses that HD rumble. You hold one of the controllers and you pull down while hitting the two buttons on top in a milking motion. Mm-hmm. There's a ping pong game. And this is interesting because none of these games utilize a screen. There are screen graphics, but and they've been saying like the point is to look at your opponent's eyes and just this cheesy weird thing. But it's interesting.
It's really joy.
So they've made
milk that cow, Marcus. Milk it.
They've made a ping pong game that's sound based instead of visual based. Mm-hmm. So you can press hold different buttons when you swing, and that'll change the type of hit you are making. I'm using really good ping pong terms here.
Top spin, mm-hmm. back spin.
Yeah, so you can lob it, you slice, can like power shot it, and slice. It'll change the sound that it makes when you quote unquote hit it, and that'll change the reaction time that your opponent will need to swing back. Mm-hmm. There's a sandwich eating game that uses that IR camera. So you hold that controller in front of your mouth,
geez.
And you just kind of like chew in the air, and you gotta eat that sandwich. You just gotta eat that sandwich, Valerie.
I'm uncomfortable.
And so I don't think they've said like the complete list of games that they have.
I hope not.
I hope that's not all of them. But
so
on one hand,
there's a Switch for you.
On one arm,
I think it's cool. On the other hand, like Evan said, this game should have been included with the package because
especially at $300.
At $300, this Switch is more expensive than the current low-end SKUs of the PS4 and the Xbox One. I understand the Switch is newer. The Switch also, at a technical level, output-wise, is less powerful. And we can talk about the innovations of their controllers, but perception-wise, like that's going to cause them some trouble.
Well, you did just mention how much technology is jammed into it.
It probably is the Joy-Con that's really pushing
yes.
the price of the
Switch. I mean,
Switch.
They're $80 yeah. to replace, and that's like, you know, a significant portion of the entire console price. Mm-hmm. On top of that, those two $50 consoles come with a game. Like that's
yeah.
whether or not
good ones too. Then,
yeah,
like, excellent.
Yeah, games. My dad bought his Xbox One recently and got Battlefield 1 for it.
Oh, I got a PlayStation 4 recently and got Uncharted 4, which
yeah.
is phenomenal.
Game. And he got an extra controller with his. When I bought mine, it came with a year of PS Plus.
Really?
And so whether or not you think Nintendo's pricing is justified because of the technology they have, this generation has become expected that your console comes with a game. And on top of that, Nintendo's own history
yeah, that's the weird. That's
shows
the,
them
that's what I was
including
say
a backing game because they've needed to show people how their system is different than the mainstream consoles because
when,
they are.
Once you switch, just seems like the obvious choice to like pack it in. Like
I think ARMS actually would be a better one.
I think
1-2 Switch is like kind of gimmicky and has that stuff that only Nintendo will use. And I think that ARMS actually, like, other developers could develop games like ARMS.
Sure.
Like, a less developed version, kind of a tech demo-y version of ARMS packed in with the Switch, I think, would have been, like, perfect.
Or just demos of both of them.
Or demos.
Like, you know, PSVR comes with the demo disc with a bunch of demos on it because they need to justify the technology.
Yeah.
The Switch is legitimately bringing, you know, if not completely new, at least newly presented technology. And I think it's important for them to communicate that as easily as possible. And I can't think of a better way to do that than with some demos. So maybe if they're smart, they include some on the eShop. That would be the best way to do that. But it's Nintendo, so you can never really count on them to do anything when it comes to the internet.
I don't count on them to do that. So, I mean, given the we'll group Joy-Con with 1-2 Switch, because those are the applications
yeah, 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 yeah.
of it, does that entice you or want a Switch?
I don't think I will end up buying 1-2 Switch.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I very much want to play 1-2 Switch. I very much don't want to spend $50 on 1-2 Switch on top of my $300 console.
But see, so actually, you go first.
Let me ask you this: as someone who doesn't play video games much, does the idea of One Two Switch, the concepts that, you know, that they showed and shared in the video of it being like a casual party game that you can just kind of pick up and just do silly stuff together with friends, does that appeal to you? Maybe on the level that something like Jackbox would.
Yeah, that appeals to me.
Like, if someone brought it, would you willingly play it?
I mostly want to know how they make it feel like there's three ice cubes in it. Like, what technology? How's it vibrating?
Lots of little motors. So, yeah. I mean, this technology isn't new. The Xbox One controller boasts about these, like, really sensitive trigger vibrators.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, I don't feel the difference. Like, I don't know if the Xbox One developers are manually inputting that because it doesn't feel like HD rumble. But I mean, that technology exists now.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a matter of, for whatever reason, Nintendo was like, this is going to be our big innovation. It's going to be putting rumble packs in our Joy-Con. So I think you brought up an interesting point, Devin. Like, this, like 1-2 Switch will be a fun game to bring to parties. It'll be that game that no one wants to buy, but everyone's gonna want to play.
Sounds like a great pack-in game,
right?
Sounds like a really good idea for a game you give out for free.
And like, so I don't know. Like, I wouldn't buy it, but I would love to.
I really want to play it.
I'm down on that.
I want to milk that cow.
I want to play it.
I'd rather eat the sandwich.
I mean, I want to show it to friends. I mean, I've always been the guy who always brought his consoles over. You know, I've always shared it. I've always, like, exposed my friends to very casual games, but like, we all had fun. Like, I always had a lot of game nights with my Wii U playing.
You're the Avon lady.
Yeah.
Should I get a free sample?
And, like, 1-2 Switch is the perfect game. And, like, I know people would enjoy it. Like, it's not something that I would play ever on my own. It would only be for, like,
milking a cow alone.
It'd only be, like, social things, which is awesome. But no, I'm not interested in buying it if it doesn't come in with it and at that $50 price.
So, who do we think the Switch is for ideally? Let's paint the perfect target Switch audience, and then we'll...
Who's our persona?
Yeah, who's our persona? Who's our Twitch persona? And then we'll talk about it individually we think.
Based off the advertisement... Wealthy hipsters with rooftop terraces.
I think it's people who haven't been into Nintendo for a long time. I've had a lot of friends who haven't owned a Nintendo console in a while, haven't like experienced anything on the Wii U, but they're very excited about the Switch. They're more excited about it than I am, and I think they're doing a really good job at marketing to those people because it just seems like a cool thing to have. Like, it doesn't seem like just a good game console. It seems just like this is something really interesting, really cool looking, and like fun to have and to show people like in your room. It's not just a console, it's kind of like a showpiece. And I think like they're trying to hit people who like kind of want that. The excitement around it feels to me more similar to the excitement for the Wii than for the Wii U, which is good because the excitement for the Wii U was barely non-existent, but the excitement for the Wii was almost more like, look at this crazy thing with this Wii remote that you can actually do like tennis motions with or golf. And I think that the Switch is marketed to people who are like interested in those experiences, but while still trying to hit the hardcore game.
Do you think this is a more casual console? Because like Wii U tried to be like really hardcore. I mean, just in terms of, like, messaging-wise.
Yeah, I think this is definitely directed more at the casual gamer, but I don't even know if it's actually seems like it's for casual gamers. Like, that word is so weird now. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean people who are interested in video games but don't really play them? Does that mean people who play, like, a couple of video games? Like, that's just such a weird... Back in 2007, when the Wii 2006 when the Wii first came out, like, that word just made so much sense.
Yeah.
Like, but now there's so many different gradations of, like, people who are interested in games.
Yeah.
I think actually maybe what the Switch is trying to do is hit the market that are, like, just getting into video games and are getting into, like, mobile games and is, like, trying to entice those kinds of people into the console.
What about people like Devin, who's like a hardcore gamer?
It didn't. Because I had the exact same reaction that he did. After we were like talking to each other on Slack, and when they announced that Zelda was released on March 3rd, 2017, when they would release on launch, I said, that's good, because otherwise this would have been embarrassment. Like, to me, that like, if that didn't come out, like,
oh, yeah,
the whole event would have been an embarrassment. It would have been like the biggest mistake ever. But then I talk to other people who, like, don't even necessarily care about that, and they're like, the Switch looks so cool, and I'm trying to think, like
what do you like about
why? Like, yeah. Why? Like, it's cool, I like that you're into it, and I want the Switch to be successful, because if the Switch is successful, third-party developers will want to actually make software for it. Mm-hmm. That'll be, like, the dream for Nintendo consoles to have third-party software. but for me, it's hard for me to, like, get excited about some of the things. They needed one more thing there, like, one more concrete thing to show us that they were working on, like, to show that it was being, like, something coming out in 2018, or, like, not Fire Emblem Warriors and an actual Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
That hurt.
E3 is gonna be that, like, make or break.
That's one thing. The more I've been thinking about this last Switch event, the more that, like, I've been softening towards it, because it's, like, the console reveal and not, like, the games reveal, and I'm hoping that E3 will have, like, what I'm looking for.
But it should have been the game's reveal.
For you, for people like you and me, yeah.
Well,
but they weren't aiming at,
for people,
they just weren't ready yet.
No, because, well, think
the whole
of the casual gamer
rush because of how messed up the Wii U was.
If we think of the, you know, whatever the casual gamer means, it's like they said, someone who's maybe transferring from mobile gaming to, they want something a little bit more, but don't want to drop something on something scary like an Xbox or a PlayStation.
Yeah.
If they're coming from a mobile app store, there's no shortage of games there. Mm-hmm. Whether they're good or bad, like, there's literally hundreds of thousands of options. Here there is five. There's literally five, and whatever they manage to drag over to the virtual console over here, which is a huge other problem for Nintendo.
Know about what's going on with that.
Nintendo...
But there's Zelda.
Nintendo's single biggest strength still is their nostalgia. And I don't think they understand that. Because every chance they have to easily capitalize on that, they drop the ball. And the virtual console is it's hilarious how bad it is. It the online thing, I think like you said, Evan, they should have given at least one more thing to make the Switch more exciting, and they should not have mentioned anything about their online stuff now. It's not even ready yet, but the idea that their response to Xbox's Games with Gold and PS Plus's, you know, whatever they're calling their games thing.
It is called PS Plus.
PS Plus. That they would think that giving players temporary access to 20-year-old games was a good value is embarrassing.
Okay, I think I agree that that is a bad idea, but I think I like that they're doing the free model of it first, because I'm hopeful that their idea is that, okay, well, we'll do the free model for, like, 5 months, see what people like and don't like, and then after that time, we'll, like, give them what they want. Like, I'm hoping that they use that free time as a beta to figure out, okay, they want these games, they don't just want rentals.
Do you not know Nintendo very well?
Let me tell you about the Wii.
I've barely used their online service. I'm hoping.
Let me tell you about the Wii U.
For people to change, right?
People don't change.
Don't ruin my faith in humanity.
So yes, I mean, there's a lot of stuff about the Switch that I can look at and be like, this would be amazing if they just tweaked this, or just tweaked this. I want to be excited about the Switch. I told Valor this earlier. As that event was starting last week, in my mind, I was mentally preparing to make a case for why I needed to buy this.
Same.
I was like, my birthday is a month after, you know, I'll buy fewer games the next 3 months for PlayStation.
I'll sell my arm for Zelda.
Like, I was ready.
You already have, yeah. Valerie.
Like, I was ready to justify this purchase. And by the end of that event, I had zero interest in doing so. And every day that more information has come out about what is actually happening, the less interested I am in getting in on this on day one.
So you're getting into the big question. Is the Nintendo Switch for you? Why or why not? It sounds like definitely not.
But I really want it to be. Mm-hmm. What I want the Switch, I think you mentioned something being a casual console. I kind of was hoping it would be that. I was hoping it would come in at 200, 250. I thought 250 was reasonable. 200 was pushing my luck. I knew that. 250 with a pack-in game would have been great. And if they had made casual use of their gimmicky stuff, but like went full force into, we are the casual game. We are the game for people who just want to have fun with their friends. We're not going to try to compete with big, huge console games. We're not going to make Uncharted. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to support games like Doom. You know, we're just going to be our own thing, distinctly different, because the Wii U tried to hang and it didn't. It just couldn't. So if the Switch was confidently in its own little space, I would have been so happy, because I have a PlayStation 4. I don't need another core console. I don't want another core console. I don't want a PS4 Pro. But I do want something that is more casual and fun and has that portability. I don't have a portable game system. So that was what I wanted out of it. And while I think there's part of them that are trying to sell it that way, they're not doing a good job of it. And they have their foot, for me, too far into the, no, we're still like a full-on console. Like, don't tell me that. That doesn't interest me. I'm beyond that. I that part of my gaming interest has been fulfilled already. The prices are all off. The prices of the accessories. The
price is not right.
I understand the technology that's going into their controllers, and I'm impressed by it. I don't know how well it's all going to work. I don't know how well it's all going to be utilized. And regardless, it's too expensive. It's flat out too expensive. I would prefer they'd cut things out to keep the price down. For me. Because having your regular controller, if you want to play games like a regular person, $70. You can easily find an Xbox One and PS4 controller for $40. I think they retail at $60, but you can regularly find them on sale for $40. So almost twice the price. You want the tiny controllers? $80. The dock itself, just to put the thing inside, is $90.
Well, extra. I mean, you don't need that at all. You totally...
No, you don't. But
The charging grip?
No, the charging grip is 30, but just an extra like dock to plug into a TV.
So like, if you had like three TVs, and you wanted one on...
You don't need that. But the fact that it's $90 doesn't make any sense.
That's a lot. Just for an output.
That's like a third-ish of the entire price for the thing you plug it into the TV with.
Yeah. All like, it does is just switch the video signal to the TV. That is a lot of money for that.
And so it's even hard for me to really think that they're marketing to what we think their target audience is, well, because the target audience they're not going to pay that much money for all this stuff. Like, it's ridiculous. But I really wanted to like it.
So it's not for you.
Not right now.
That much is true.
Is the Nintendo Switch for you?
Alas, it is not for me.
Why not?
Because I am far, far, far too casual of a gamer.
Compare
so
this...
So it's too casual for Valerie. I'm just...
Comparing the Switch to, say, a PlayStation. Mm-hmm. This is hypothetical, and I'm not going to take a no answer for an answer. I told you this before we started. If you had to choose which one over the other, which would you be more likely to... Say you want to buy one for your sister or something.
If I were buying for my sister, then I guess I'd get her the Switch. Because, I mean, at one point she did use a Wii. She had a Wii. So, I mean, if only because I feel like Nintendo has the reputation of being the soft corners, more bouncy, family-friendly, like, video game company.
And your sister's all about that family friendly.
She's all about the bounce. She's all about the bounce.
Marcus, let's talk about you.
I'll go last.
I think we are on.
I vaguely talked. The Switch, I don't know, because there's a lot that I like about it. I mean, the more I think about the launch, not the launch line, but just like the lineup in general, like to have a Zelda game and a Mario game in the same year is pretty amazing. And but that middle part is just like a little weak. I will definitely get the Switch. Like, I will buy Nintendo consoles until the day I die. I think, well, until the day I die, because like, I just need to keep playing.
That's the thing. Like, if you're Nintendo, if you're a big enough Nintendo fan, it doesn't matter what they put out. Like,
because there will be Zelda.
As long as they're only putting Nintendo games on Nintendo systems, you're gonna get it because you need Zelda, you need Mario.
So, and I will happily buy it and buy whatever games are like good for it. But I will not be getting it day one. I wanted to get it day one. I wanted to be rushing pre-orders. Mm-hmm. I wanted to like sell my foot, my arm, whatever to
your body to get ready.
It. I wanted to be that excited, but I couldn't. When I saw it, I was just like, nope, it's not happening that day. Because there's so many other awesome things. Like if you just look at it when it's coming out right between Horizon Zero Dawn and Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm gonna be doing in late February and March. And it sucks. Well, Zelda's coming out on the Wii U also that day.
That's so true.
Yeah, so that is already like... Wii U? I do have a Wii U.
I have your Wii U.
Yeah, you do.
Well, Marcus.
The Switch is for me. It's definitely for me. It's definitely for you. And I thought about this, and I've been thinking about it, and I've been... watching so much commentary, watching and like I've like listened.
Did you watch Jim Serling's second Wii U video?
Yeah, I watched it today. So there's a lot of criticisms about the Switch, and I agree with all of them. Like every negative thing that has been said about this console, I have agreed with pretty much completely. And yet, it's still for me.
It's still so cool. It's still so cool. Like, I can hate on the game line of all I want. It's still awesome. I'm still going to be very happy to buy it. It's a great machine,
and at the end of the day, Nintendo makes the games that I want to play. The console, it has Zelda. Launch day. That's my, like...
I just gotta shrug that off like it's not.
Without Zelda, Top Shelf Gaming would not exist. Like Zelda to me, like that is my favorite franchise. I have a Zelda backpack. I have a Zelda 3DS. I have a lot of Zelda stuff. I love Zelda. I love it. Was that a high five?
That's why I raised my hand because as Evan pointed out, you don't need a Switch to play Zelda, though.
You don't need
it. But it's the definitive way to play it.
Are you sure about that?
It looks better. It runs.
There are like technical specs out there that say how much better it is. IGN has a comparison video.
I watched that earlier.
It does look a lot better.
It is definitively better.
That's...
Digital Foundry also did...
No. I'm not saying it's not going to run or look better. I'm saying... How much does that matter?
For some people, it might not be $300 better worth.
That's the difference.
It would be $250 better for me. It's not $300 worth for me. Like, that's a bit much, but...
So, as someone I pre-ordered Switch...
Twice.
Three times.
What?
What? What do you mean?
Switch!
How?
And let's switch it over to this shopping cart.
So, I currently... have two active pre-orders.
Oh, Marcus.
And I actually put money down on one of them. I'm getting this console. And this is is the launch lineup terrible?
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Like, is this going to be a monstrous success? In no way. But I don't want it to be. I want it to be... this thing that plays the games that I want to play, and that's not going to happen on Wii U, that's happening on Switch. And it's something that I can take with me. It's something...
For, like, 6 hours.
Yeah, but how far am I traveling? And also,
like... Free with Zelda.
And, like, why wouldn't I have charging capabilities? Like I have a 3DS, and the battery life on that thing,
it's comparable.
Is it impressive either? They're basically one-to-one battery life. So it's like, I know what that's like. And every bad thing, like, I like, acknowledge it. I see it. I know that it's there. And I've accepted it. I've made my peace with it. So me getting Switch is really, like, me saying, like, you are this thing. You are not perfect, but you are special, and I want you.
That's so adorable. Let me ask you this. Knowing your love for Nintendo, mm-hmm. knowing your love for Zelda specifically, what would it have taken for you not to have bought the Switch?
If Zelda wasn't launch, I would have waited till Zelda came out. So actually, I would have waited till ARMS.
So it's primarily Zelda more than anything with the console has to share.
Yes. Well, it's not just Zelda. Like, knowing that the Wii U's done, like, this is the only way to keep playing those games. So therefore, I'm in. Like, I don't expect it to be this revolutionary thing. I don't think it, like, my expectations for, like, for the actual console are fairly low. But my expectations that it's going to deliver the kinds of games that I want to play are really large. And even if that game was just Zelda, and now that we know Mario, and it has Splatoon, it has Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
That's another kind of worms, though.
Yeah, that Mario Kart 8 and the fact that Splatoon, quote-unquote, 2 and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, that doesn't do it for me either, because those games already exist. And yes, slightly better remasters, yes, slightly new content, but the one thing the Switch can't be is yet another remaster machine.
It can, and it probably will.
Oh, it's going to be, but...
See, the thing is that those are all business things, and all of those things are going to suck for Nintendo. It's not going to suck for me, because...
Until it sucks too bad for Nintendo, and they finally lose it. Because here's the thing.
Well, then they'll just end up developing games on other consoles, and then we'll still be playing them.
So and I'm okay that with that, too. Thing? Like,
If Nintendo wasn't making a Switch console, and they were like, okay, we'll develop a multi-platform game for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, like, that would suck, because there's just something so wrong with Nintendo not making games for themselves. But, like, the games are still, Mario and Zelda and... I don't know how enduring Samus and Donkey Kong will be, but at least Mario and Zelda will never not exist in video game culture. Yeah. They're, like, there to stay. Look at how Sonic's been for the last 20 years, and he's still hanging around.
Somehow he's still hanging around. Yeah.
So, In conclusion,
you have sold out your soul to Hyrule. Your heart belongs in Hyrule.
Dude, that's a good place for your soul to be,
though. Yeah, man.
That's
a great place for your soul to be. Let me die there, man. That's like green pastures. It's like where I want to be.
You get to hang out with the great fairies.
Dude, take me there. Take me there. Right now.
March 3rd.
Yeah, we'll take you there
March
soon.
March 3rd.
Oh, that's going to happen. And I'll be there March 3rd.
Well, we will see. I want to look back at this a year from now and be proven wrong.
But you probably won't be.
I know, but I want to be. I want to want the Switch.
Sure.
But there's Zelda looks cool, but it's not nearly enough for me.
So I'm selling it a little bit.
Yeah, dude, Zelda a bit.
All I'm going to say is that overworld looks real empty. There's a lot of grass and not a bunch of stuff.
Okay, Shadow of the Colossus had lizards in it, and that was it. And it was one of the most... It's probably the most beautiful game ever made.
That is true. Zelda's not Shadow of the Colossus, though.
But an empty overworld done well, like, can be good. And even I also if don't think it's... They're not going to do it like Shadow of the Colossus, obviously. No. But an empty overworld doesn't necessarily mean bad. Overworlds in video games nowadays have become so cluttered with just banal crap that's, like, checklists to do. And I would love to explore, like, an empty, just an empty field with nothing in it. Like, I can imagine playing Breath of the Wild, walking into an empty field with no enemies, no nothing to do, and just, like, stopping and, like, walking through it slowly and just appreciating being in Hyrule and appreciating that they didn't feel like they had to make this a game, that they just made the world. Like, I would love that.
Under different perspectives. 2 months.
Yeah.
You will get to do all that and so much more, and maybe play as Zelda? I don't know. We'll see.
That would be cool.
With that, we're going to wrap up this slightly longer than usual episode as Marcus collapses into himself.
Oh my god.
I think it was in Hyrule.
I think he just left. Mm-hmm. I think he is just gone, mm-hmm. and he's not coming back. So, Valerie, mm-hmm. what do we say at the end of every episode?
Words.
We do say some words. Some of those words are...
Why?
I liked it. You can find this podcast on iTunes and Google Play and on audioboom.com and all sorts of places, including topshelfgaming.net itself. Like us, subscribe to us, review us. Don't like us. Like, you can't like podcasts. You can subscribe to them and rate them.
You can like our Facebook page.
We're on Twitter. We have a Trust Circle Twitter account now.
Trust Circle Cast.
With the at sign in front.
Yeah, at sign. Well, I mean, no, it's Twitter.
No, just say at Trust Circle at. Cast. That's right. Clunky.
What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle? I just changed it. It's literally just at Devin Valdivia.
Yep.
I have a Twitter, but I've never tweeted, so I'm you not going to say
you
it.
Have. You have one tweet. You have one lonely tweet.
What did I even tweet about?
I don't remember. Something about TSG, right?
I think so.
Did yeah.
I don't know. You are at _Dillo. They can figure it out for themselves.
Devin thought.
If you know why her Twitter handle is at _Dillo, send us an email or tweet at us, and we'll figure something out for you.
We'll give you a prize. No idea. We'll give you a prize.
All right. Evan, where can people talk to you and reach you?
My Twitter is at @EMZSilverSound.
And I am at @RareVolutionary.
I like it a lot.
I actually really like your Twitter handle.
Thank you.
Well, Nintendo's back one way or the other. Zelda's back one way or the other. Mario's gonna be back one way or the other.
Zelda's back.
And we're all gonna be milking cows and shooting cowboys. Yep. But until then, we'll talk to you next week. Adios.